the philosophical equivalent of being born in a fog bank. By all accounts, he was a quiet, brooding child, which makes sense because he was busy inventing ideas so dense they could collapse stars. While most of us look at the world and think things like, "That's a tree," or "I'm hungry," Hegel was busy pondering how the idea of treeness negates itself through internal contradiction and reemerges as the synthesis of itself and its opposite. That's not an exaggeration. That's just Tuesday for Hegel. He studied theology, naturally, because nothing says, "Let's ruin dinner conversations for generations," quite like mixing God with German philosophy. Eventually, he wrote The Phenomenology of Spirit, a book so dense it makes black holes feel insecure. Reading it is like being trapped in an escape room designed by a drunken librarian with a thesaurus addiction. Why people pretend to understand him? Spoiler, no one actually does. Here's the thing. Nobody really understands Hegel. Not professors, not scholars, not even Hegel, probably. If you say dialectic enough times and look vaguely constipated, people just assume you get it. See, in the world of highbrow philosophy, admitting you don't understand Hegel is like showing up to a wine tasting and saying, "This just tastes like grapes." You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to nod solemnly and say things like, "Ah, yes, the negation of the negation. Very rich." Reading Hegel has become a rite of passage for intellectual masochists everywhere. Understanding him? That's optional. The important thing is to make it look like you do. Bonus points if you can insert sublation into a sentence without bursting into laughter. How to fake your way through a conversation about Hegel without reading him? First of all, don't panic. No one else has read him either. They've read about him, and that's your ticket in. Here's your quick start guide to Hegelian bullshittery. 1. Say dialectic early and often. It doesn't matter if you don't know what it means. Neither does anyone else. 2. Casually mention thesis, antithesis, synthesis, then immediately scoff and say, "Of course that's a simplification." People love that. 3. Refer to things as becoming instead of being. It makes you sound deep and slightly mystical. What is love, you ask? It's not being, it's becoming. Boom! You just dropped a Hegel bomb. 4. Use the word sublate at least once. No one knows what it means, including Merriam-Webster, but if you use it confidently, people will be too afraid to challenge you. And remember, if someone asks you what the phenomenology of spirit is about, look pained and say, "It's not about anything. It's about the process of becoming itself." Then pretend to get a phone call and walk away. You win. Chapter 1. The Dialectic for Dummies. Thesis, Antithesis, Synthesis, Headache. Ah, yes, the dialectic. Hegel's favorite way to remind us that thinking should hurt. This is the core of his philosophy, the holy trinity of abstract agony. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Sounds simple, right? Oh, you poor sweet summer child. Let's get something straight. The dialectic isn't complicated. What is complicated is the 800-layer lasagna of metaphysical nonsense Hegel stuffed on top of it like a philosophical Garfield with no impulse control. But first, let's pretend for 5 seconds that we live in a world where things make sense. The basic structure of Hegelian dialectic. It's actually not that complicated, but don't tell Hegel. Here's the baby's first dialectic breakdown. 1. Thesis, an idea, a concept, a thing that exists. 2. Antithesis, the opposite of that thing, because apparently